Psalm 126, and if you'll find that psalm, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 126, and verse number 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to begin a series of lessons tonight, dear God, that will help us, Lord, and encourage us and instruct us in bringing lost people to you. And so, Lord, may we pay close attention. I don't know of a more important theme. Lord, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Lord, you had defined your entire time here on earth in this matter of bringing people to yourself. And Lord, you declared yourself the light of the world. But then you told us, ye are the lights of the world. And Lord, I pray, dear God, we would help it to mimic, Lord, the what you did while you were here and sharing the gospel and bringing people to a saving knowledge of our precious Savior. Now use this time, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Anybody not get one of these tonight? If you did, if you raise your hand, we'll get one to you. Anybody not get one of these? Did we miss anyone? All righty. We need one right here. Come on, Brother Eric, hold on just a second. He's grabbing some. He was out back, I think, having a cigarette or something. So I think he's back now. Good, there he is. All right, good. Anybody else we missed and did not get one of these, raise your hand. Good. Amen. All right, we miss anybody else. Don't be shy. Put your hand up so we can see it. Good. All right, excellent. Thank you so much. All right, appreciate that. We have 8 lessons here in soul winning, and we're going to cover 7 of them tonight. And so I hope you planned on being here for a while. I want to completely remove your attention from the weather. I've been monitoring it. I promise you tonight at 8 o'clock, if I have to stop in the middle of a sentence at 8 o'clock, we'll bow our heads and pray and get you home. From what the weather's doing and the temperatures, everybody, if you'll leave here in a timely fashion, I don't think you'll have a bit of thing to worry about on the way home. You won't run into any ice. It'll be just rain. So what I'm going to ask you to do, since I have 35 minutes, is really zero in. And I've given you the training lessons here, and I'm going to direct you to them. It would be a great blessing to me if wherever I am in this, you would be in the same place, all right? I want to read this over here, okay? Well, stay with me tonight, and then you can go home and read everything you want to. That's fine. But let's take a look at Lesson 1, Soul Winning Lesson 1. How are we going to cover 8 lessons in 4 weeks? Well, we're going to skim a few of them like we will tonight, and then we're going to teach in depth. I want to really get into the tools and the soul-winning demonstration and all of that, and how to do that. Just kind of put good tools in your toolbox here as far as ready and able to win souls to Christ. But I want to go over this guaranteed formula for fruitfulness in introduction. The main lesson that we're going to look at tonight is Lesson 4, and I'll have you turn there in just a second. But I want to talk to you tonight mainly about the importance of your personal testimony, and then I'm going to give you your first assignment. And I want you to work this week on one particular thing that will get you started down the path of being able to win people to Jesus Christ. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Isn't that interesting? I wrote down here in our notes, you know what, that shall doubtless, remember what the preacher said this morning, a guarantee is guaranteed by the Lord. We will trust in the word shall for our eternal security, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, the same God that inspired the word shall in Romans 10:13 also inspired the word shall of Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. So there is a guaranteed formula. If we'll follow God's formula for soul winning, we will see results in soul winning. God guarantees it. And so as you read down through the notes, these original notes were written for teenagers and to train teenagers. You're going to see me reference teenagers from time to time. So let me just go ahead and let you know that. And that way, if you see that, emphasize it's because that's what these were written for originally and published to do. There's a formula here. Here it is. Go, weep, sow, reap, rejoice. There it is. There's the formula. Go, weep, sow, reap, rejoice. The first command is to go. And all through the Bible, we see that we are commanded over and over to go. I'm not going to read all of the verses there. I love what, see the little box there, what Hudson Taylor said? The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. Amen. Now look up here and let me just explain this. If God tells you to do something and you don't do it, what is that? Sin. It's disobedience. And what is disobedience? Sin. It's a sin. And so you've got a choice. You know what? I'm not trying to live your life, but I'm telling you this. If you adamantly refuse to go and be involved in some effort to spread the gospel, you are living in sin, and sin should be confessed and forsaken, and it needs to be viewed as that. This isn't something just for an elite group of Christians or certain people that have a gift. This is a command for every Christian to be a soul winner, every Christian to be active in the spreading of the gospel. If you'll turn to the next page, you'll see Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Mark 16:15, middle of the page. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find the word go 177 times in 166 verses. The command by Christ is to go, not sit and hope or sit and wait or sit and pray, that some lost soul will wander in the back door and be saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We are commanded to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. I put in the notes here, if a church is not going, then that church is not growing. And you know what? The best way to grow Blessed Hope Baptist Church is to get every member going out with the gospel. Now, I want you to consider this. Hey, preacher, where am I supposed to go? I'll give you things. I think one of the things I want to remind you of is that even though we will have missionary guests this week, you know what? Let me just announce this. God wants you and expects you to be a missionary. God wants you to be a missionary. You say, preacher, God doesn't call everybody to be a missionary. Yes, he does. I just knock it down, settle it, put it in your heart. Yes, he does. Now, he may lay his hand specifically on some people to leave their home and travel to a different country, but whether he's commanded you to do that or whether you live here, you have the same responsibility as the missionary does, the same command that the missionary does. And so what we need to do if we're missionaries is we need to identify our mission field. So we need to see that God has given each of us a mission field. Let me just go through this. Where are we to go? See the world as your mission field. And that means there is no wrong place to witness to somebody. Anywhere and everywhere that you go, you can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many churches put on the over the doors, they're exiting the church. You are now entering the mission field. Everywhere you go is a mission field. See your family as a mission field. And so many of you are like me. You have family members, relatives that are lost. Your family is a mission field, and God has commanded us to go and spread the gospel. Boy, wouldn't it make sense to start with our family? Now look at the next page. See your community as your mission field. Now, we spent a lot of money to produce a map back there that identifies our Jerusalem. And folks, I want you to look at that. I know the entire world is our mission field, but I think specifically for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we need to target what we consider our Jerusalem and saturate our Jerusalem with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our church, our size, if everyone is going and everyone is involved in outreach, should have no problem getting the gospel to every single door in that circle every single year easily, if we get everybody involved. And so we want to saturate. Now, the Bible says, go ye in all the world. You say, preacher, that whole thing about go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, I mean, how do you achieve a global gospel saturation? Well, I wonder if every church just said, listen, I can't do that every door to every place in the world, but if I said Blessed Hope Baptist Church has got, well, what about these other churches? Well, that's fine. Whatever they do is extra. That's the way I look at it. But you know what? I feel like it's our job to saturate our area with the gospel, and there is no way to saturate a community with the gospel without going door to door. I'm glad we got radio, but not everybody listens to radio. I'm glad we have services. I'm glad we have a bus ministry. Everybody's not going to let the kids come. And the only way to achieve gospel saturation of any area is to go to every door. And guess what that takes? That takes shoe leather. That takes inconvenience. That takes time. That takes scheduling. That takes outreach. That takes knocking on doors. That takes out there on the streets, highways and byways, people spending their gas money and their time to drive up and down these gravel roads and walk up to houses. If the Jehovah Witnesses will do it and the Mormons will do it, why don't the Church of Jesus Christ do it? And so see your community as your mission field. I'm going to encourage you to get involved in some ministry, organized ministry of your local church in this matter of outreach. Number four, see your place of employment as your mission field. I think where you work, God gave you that job for a reason. I think that there's people there that you need to win to Christ. I was so pleased to meet Val's friend. And Val, I'm sorry, but I forgot his name. Remind me? Chris. And you know what Chris said to me as I met him? He said, Val has been inviting me to come to church for 3 years, so I finally told him that I would, and I wanted to keep my word. Did you hear what I just said? For 3 years. He worked on him to get him to walk in one Sunday morning. Now, folks, listen to me. There's people where you work that you need to reach and you need to stay after and you need to be a witness to. By the way, this will change your life. Let me tell you the real reason why most Christians don't want to consider their place of employment a mission field. Come on. It's because if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. Because I guarantee you, you start talking about Jesus and everybody at that place is going to be watching you. They're going to put you under a microscope. Okay? You're going to have to live it out. And so that's good for us. Amen. See your place of employment. See your neighborhood. I believe everybody lives where they do for a reason. I think you ought to look around in your neighborhood. And I think you ought to make an effort to win your next door neighbors to the Lord. Preacher, you're passionate about that. Yeah, because of Jerry and Ruth Purcell, who was our next door neighbors. My mom and dad was lost. Our next door neighbors looked across the street and said, we're going to try to win them to Christ, get them to church, get them saved. And because of that, Blessed Oak Baptist Church was founded, God used Robert Ross to do that because of next door neighbors that got a burden. Well, I don't like my neighbors. Well, get over it. Get over it. Shame on you. Well, yeah, but if you had them and if you knew them, well, maybe they'd be different if they get saved. And maybe they'd get saved if they had a decent neighbor, a kind neighbor, a helpful neighbor. Come on now. Amen. All right, there you go. By the way, you know why most of us don't want to look at our neighborhood as a mission field? Same reason we don't have to look at our employers as a mission field. Good. Now you might have to actually watch how you conduct yourself because the people across the fence are watching you. All right. Come on now. It's good, isn't it? Yeah, by the way, you might get standards if you decide to be a soul winner. You might decide, you know what, there's a way you ought to dress all the time and live all the time and talk all the time. And I mean, if you decided that, you know what, I've got to do this everywhere I go, then you'll turn off this Sunday, this is the way we dress up and play Christian, and the rest of the week we do whatever. All right. It's good for us. See your neighborhood as a mission field. See young people, see your school. So we have young people in here tonight that go to the public school. I pray that you'd walk through your public school tomorrow, and every person that passes you, I pray that you'd look at their face and realize most of them are on their way to hell. And if you don't do something about it, that's where most of them's going to end up. That's your mission field. So what I encourage you to do is put together a prayer list of those you hope to win to Christ. The first point is go. That's the first step in the formula is go. I have to give my dad's famous quote on this. I was sitting right over there. One of the things he said, I just about fell out of the pew. I don't know why it's so hysterical to me, but he was preaching on the Great Commission. He looked at me and looked up in exasperation of the congregation and says, folks, I don't know what you're waiting for. The go in the Great Commission isn't going to get any goier. I'll never forget that Sunday he said that. I literally about fell out of my pew laughing. Hey, I love that. You got to write that down somewhere. What are you waiting for? The go isn't getting any goier. God says go, he means we ought to go. What's the formula? Well, it starts with going. Number two, Brother Hamlin did a great job with this. I won't spend a lot of time weeping, but tears are the natural result of seeing of what you see when you go. I love the quote there I have in the box, to keep our hand on the plow while wiping away our tears. That is Christianity. All through there, you can read that later on. The proper emotions. Proper emotions are the result of proper obedience. Watch this. Proper emotions are the result of proper obedience. And people that have biblical emotions get those by just being, by obeying God. You're going to get a burden if you go, okay? So let's hit sowing real quick, all right? Then once we go and we weep, we begin to sow. Like Brother Hamlin said this morning, I don't have to go through this very deep because he did a good job on it. He said, boy, we look around at the mess people are in, we'll say we got the answer. And so as a local assembly of born-again believers, we want to increase the number of people sowing, increase the number of seeds sown, and let God then supply the increase. We preached a whole series of messages on how to increase the increase. Right there in the notes, I give the illustration, a reminder of the power of the assembly. Oh, my goodness sakes, if we'd have realized the power of the assembly. Preacher, you just keep pushing for this 100% participation in evangelism. Don't you understand, folks, that's the key? You know what? If the pastor decides to pass out 10 gospel tracts per week, then 10 people will have been given the gospel. But if 50 church members join him, then 510 people will get the gospel. I mean, that's the power of the assembly. All righty. And so one man invites 10 people to church this week. We might occasionally have a visitor. But if 50 people decide they're going to invite 10 people a week, that's 510 people that have been invited. And you get a church busy like that, you know what you'll see? A constant flow of first-time visitors coming through the door of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And so that's the encouragement. All right, then reaping is guaranteed. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Shall doubtless come again. This is what God promises to do. He's the one who convicts, folks. He's the one that draws a person to himself. He saves the sinner. Jerry Ross never saved anyone, but he's let me have a front row seat to see a lot of them saved and let me co-labor with him in the process. And is there any greater honor than that? And so you have a privilege of co-laboring with Christ to bring a sinner to Jesus and then rejoicing. Leading someone to Christ is as close to experiencing again the joy you felt when you were saved as you will ever get. That's not a lot of instruction maybe as far as nuts and bolts, but folks, if we'll follow that formula in our daily life and our soul winning efforts and do it over and over and over again, go, weep, sow, reap, rejoice, and then go, weep, sow, reap, rejoice, and you just keep repeating that, you know what you're going to see over the course of a lifetime? That when you go into heaven, you won't go in alone. You'll be able to bring people with you into heaven with you. Now, I want you to go over to lesson number 4, and I want to give you this, and we're going to focus the rest of the night on this subject. If you will, take your Bible and go over to Acts chapter 22, and then we'll look also at Acts chapter 26. Paul gives us a biblical example of incorporating his salvation testimony into his presentation of the gospel. And I believe that there's something very, very important here that I want to give you. There's a tool that I want you to develop right here during the first week. Preacher, what do you want me to work on this week? Well, I'm not going to have you mark the verses yet or the sequence or all of that. I want you to work on one thing this week. And I want you to practice it. When I say practice, I mean practice it out loud. I mean sit down and go through it and say it and practice it. And that's this, the sharing of your personal salvation testimony. Now let me go through this. In Acts chapter 22, Paul has an opportunity to stand up and speak for the Lord. Beginning in verse 3, he says, I'm verily a man which am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God as ye all were this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound from Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. If you go over to chapter 26, Paul has another opportunity to share his testimony and the gospel. And so we read in chapter 26 in verse number 8, Why should it be thought of a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I had to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them often every synagogue. By the way, that's the B.C. That's before Christ. He's talking about, hey, you know what? I wasn't always doing this. Hey, there was a time that I needed to be saved, okay? And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Watch this, verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, here we are, back on the Damascus road again. Now, with authority and commission from the chief priest at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above and the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet. And he continues giving his testimony. Now watch this. I believe the Lord's trying to teach us something. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I don't know about you, but if you want to sit at the feet of someone and learn how to be a soul winner, the Apostle Paul might be a good teacher in that department. Very effective at winning people to Christ. Now, what did he do? He used his salvation testimony. Please listen to what I have to say. There's several reasons. If you'll look in your notes, I gave you five, why it's important to use your salvation testimony in your presentation of the gospel. First of all, the biblical examples that we just read. Number two, sharing your testimony with a lost man shows them that what you are going to ask them to do, you had to do also. You then are talking across to them and now not down at them. A lot of soul winning presentations, if we're not careful, we show up the door and it's almost like we are speaking to this lost sinner about what he needs to do in order to go to heaven. And it comes across whether we mean for it to or not as if we're speaking down to him. I'm a Christian, you're not. This is what you need to do to be like me. But the problem is human nature resists that. And you know what? I think it's an inaccurate portrayal of who we are. We are not somebody that was born saved to go to find somebody who was lost. We were somebody who was born lost, who got saved, that's been commanded to go back and win people who are lost. Your salvation testimony conveys that. Okay? Because what you're saying to this person and what Paul was saying to these people is, folks, listen to me. I wasn't always an apostle, and I wasn't always a preacher, and I wasn't always a soul winner, and I wasn't always a church planter. Let me tell you some of the horrific things I was involved in when I was blinded to the gospel. And he shares what Jesus Christ did for him. Oh, preacher, if I had a testimony that was as spectacular as the Apostle Paul's, then God could use it. But you don't understand. I was just a young person, and you know what? I wasn't very old, and I hadn't persecuted anybody or killed anybody and all of this. Listen, your salvation testimony shared by you to another person is just as powerful as Paul's salvation testimony that he shared. You know why? Because it's yours. Because it's yours. And so there's a reason that we share this. Number three, sharing your testimony will warm your heart as you relive what Christ did for you. You know what? Brother Hamlin mentioned the importance of compassion. And folks, listen to me. I believe this. I believe as you're talking to people, they're going to look in your eyes. Don't ever wear sunglasses when you're soul winning. I don't care if you're out on the street and the sun's so bright that it blinds you. I think when you go somewhere, you put the sunglasses away. Why? Because people need to see your eyes. I don't know about you, but when someone's talking to me, I'm looking them in the eye, and I can gauge a lot by looking at their eyes whether or not I should believe what they say. And it's a window to the heart. And I believe this, as you share your testimony, there is something that happens inside of you that person sees that comes through your eyes. Folks, listen, I don't want this to just be the mechanical memorization of something to say where people feel like that you're standing in front of the class quoting a bunch of words and trying to get them in the right order. Now, you may feel a little bit like that when you first start, but I think one of the things that'll tenderize your heart the minute that you begin to talk to a lost person about the Lord is to begin to talk about your salvation, because I can't speak about it without being blessed again. And so I'll illustrate that and show it to you in just a minute. Number four, sharing your testimony often will help keep your salvation. Help keep your salvation experience fresh in your life. Let me just tell you this: people that share their testimony a lot and use it in witnessing, I've never run into a person like that that doubts their salvation. People that doubt their salvation are the ones that have never ever shared their testimony. You don't ever talk about it. Let me ask you a question. Are you ashamed of it? Are you embarrassed by it? And the answer might be yes. Come on. Come on now. Are you ashamed of being a Christian? Are you embarrassed to be? Just talk about it? Remember what I talked about? We need to get over prayer embarrassment. We need to get over witnessing embarrassment. What do we have to be embarrassed about? I mean, folks, listen to me. You got to learn a long time ago. You're going to spend your life on the defensive, or you're going to spend your life on the offensive. And you know what you need to do? Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And you know what? Get past that. And you get past it by doing it. And it's not easy the first time, but it'll get easier every time. And I think the giving of your testimony and sharing of your testimony ought to be at some point in your life as natural as breathing, because you've just talked about it so much. Something exciting happens to you. I mean, good news. I mean, good night. You walk to the mailbox and somebody unexpectedly sent you $1,000. And you know what you want to tell everybody for the next week? Let me tell you something. When you got saved, you got something better than $1,000. And so why aren't you excited about it? And I think we just need to take a step back and say, Lord, help me to relive what you did for me and the miracle that you performed in my life. And then number five, sharing your testimony will allow you another way to present the gospel. Now, let me show you this. When I go to a door and I'm out cold turkey calling, I know there's all kinds of different soul winning, but when you're out just knocking on doors and this isn't a follow-up visit, you've never met this person before, when I go to the door, I want to leave the gospel three ways at that door. There's three ways I want to leave the gospel there, okay? I'm going to try to give them, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Here we go. I want to give them three ways. The first thing I do is I have a gospel tract in my hand, because a lot of times, all the people are going to do is open the door, see who you are, and try to get the door closed, or they're not going to talk to you. So as soon as they open the door, I said, hey, I'm Pastor Jerry Ross from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want to drop this off to you. Why are you trying to get it in their hand before you do anything else? Because even if they shut the door on me, they've got the gospel and I got it there one way. And a lot of times you're going to find on a lot of doors, young people, and this is true, a lot of times that's all you're going to get in, because people just cut you off. Now, I like to think that the second way, and a lot of times, most of the time, I can get the gospel to them at least two different ways. That is with the gospel tract and with my personal testimony. All right, so we're going to go through this. How do you use your personal testimony during door-to-door soul winning? All right, let me have you look down there, and then I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. Knock on the door, take a step back. I'm going to teach you proper things, you know. If you knock on the door, always take a full step back like this, okay? For one thing, they got to open the door, all right? Another thing, if they open the door and you're standing there and your face is right here, I don't know what your reaction is, but mine is to reach around the back of the door and get a shotgun. So for your own safety in Green Sullivan, Clay County, take a step back, all right? But it is. It's just proper. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you reading the same Lenten paper I am? Okay, people are scared to open their doors in our community. This isn't the ghettos anymore. Or the ghettos I'm talking about, it's talking about this area is getting scary. So you knock on the door, take a step back. And I always like having the gospel tract, something that's got the name of our church right on it, because you know what? People, they are a little afraid nowadays. They want to know who you are and where you're from. And I don't sit there and go, hello, how are you? What's your name? Because you know what? If that's me, I'm just talking about Jerry Ross. My reaction to that is, I don't know, who are you and why do you want to know? Okay, so I'm going to tell them right off the bat. I knock on the door, take a step back. They come to the door. Hello, ma'am. My name's Pastor Jerry Ross. I'm visiting from Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jasonville, Indiana. We're knocking on doors. I'd like to drop this off to you. And if she'll open the door and stand there and talk to me a minute, the next thing that I'll do is share my personal testimony, okay? Now, sometimes she might, oh, I know your church. I think I know so-and-so that goes. We might get into somewhat of a conversation. That's always good. If you could spend some time conversing, get to know the person. But if they seem to be in a hurry, what I'll do is I'll say, hey, my name's Pastor Jerry Ross. I'd like to drop this off. And when they open the door and I hand it to them, I said, there's two things I really like to do. I'd like to give you this, number one. Number two, I'd like to tell you the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And that's usually what I say. And you know what? That piques people's curiosity. Honestly, a lot of times, even somebody who didn't intend to stand there and talk to me thinks, well, wonder what he's talking about. I launch into my salvation testimony. Now, I don't ask them. I don't say, I'd like to share the best thing that ever happened to me. Would you like to hear it? I don't do that, okay? Because if I ask them, would they like to hear it, they might say no. And I just think everybody ought to want to hear my testimony. I mean, why wouldn't they? Come on now. And so I'll say, I've got two things here. I'd like to drop this off. And one other thing, I'd like to share with you the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I said, when I was a five-year-old boy, we moved from Greencastle to Brazil, Indiana. And my mom and dad didn't go to church at the time. And then I spent about 10 minutes painting my mom and dad to be the biggest heathens you've ever seen in your life. And tell all the sins that they were committing and how wicked they were so that they would understand the terrible situation I was in this home and how they beat their children for no reason whatsoever. And no, I just say, hey, my mom and dad, the honest truth is, didn't take us to church at that time, but we moved across the road. Now, listen to me. I'm giving it to you. I'm telling you right now, preacher, how do I do this? I'm going to show you, all right? We moved across the road from two people, last name Purcell, that were born again Christians. And you know, we didn't even know what that meant. But they began to invite us to church, and finally we started going. And you know what? I went to a church just north of Brazil, Indiana, and I began to go to church and learn about what the Bible has to say about subjects like sin and that we are all sinners. The preacher preached on hell, that it was a real place, and showed me in the Bible where it was, and heaven. And boy, that's a place I wanted to go to. But you know what he mostly spoke about? Jesus Christ and how he loved mankind so much, he came down to die on the cross for our sins. And you know one of the first verses I learned? For God so loved the world. Now, what are you doing? I may not get a chance to open my Bible. They might not say in a minute, yeah, I'd like you to show me. But I'm going to give them as much of the gospel as I can through my testimony. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A lot of times they'll start shaking their head because a lot of people at least know that verse. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that word whosoever, I sat in church long enough where God began to convict my heart and I realized that whosoever was me and I needed to be saved. And you know what? On a Sunday morning, I walked down the aisle and I told the preacher, I was under conviction. I knew God was working in my heart. And I told the preacher, I want to be saved. And he knelt down and showed me from the Bible how I could know 100% that I was on my way to heaven. And then right there, a lot of times I'll say, ma'am, the reason I'm out today is because I like asking people that same question. Do you know 100% sure that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Now, if they say yes, and they give me a good testimony, I'm going to say, thank you so much. Would you pray for our church? By the way, do you go to church anywhere? And I'll try to, if they're unchurched, I'll try to get them in church. If they say, no, I don't, then I'll ask them. I always ask this. I always say, would you have just a couple minutes? I always carry a New Testament, and I'll pull it out at that point, have it in my hand. And you know, the same verses that the preacher showed me so that I could know for sure that I was going to heaven, I could take just maybe 5-6 minutes and show you those verses. Do you have a time? Would you like to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? And you know what? If God has prepared that person, by the way, God has to prepare a person to be saved. All right, I'm not twisting their arm. I'm not trying to talk them into it. I'm not trying to trick somebody into praying. But I'll push to at least show them. Now, if they say at that point, you know what? I just really don't have time. I've got to go. I'll say, would you at least read the verses? They're all on the back of this card I just gave you. All of the verses I would have showed you, they're right there. Would you read them sometime today or first thing in the morning? I mean, would you do that? And most of the time they'll say, yes, I will. And you know what, folks, listen to me. Watch this. What is soul winning, preacher? Is soul winning going to every door and winning that person to Christ? No, soul winning is sowing and watering and sometimes reaping. And there's a lot of visits that you'll make is just the first time they got the gospel, just getting a card through the crack. Sometimes it's sharing your testimony. Sometimes it's saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that's the only verse you got to share it with them. But you know what? It gives the Holy Spirit something to work with. Sometimes what you might think was not a good visit was a better visit than you had any idea. Because maybe they rushed you. Maybe they listened to part of your testimony and they had to go. But you got the card in their hand and they shut the door and they go about their business. But the Holy Spirit of God, thank God for the Holy Spirit, is in that house. And you know what? While they're trying to set that card down, they look and it says, how to know 100% sure you'll go to heaven. And maybe they toss it down and maybe they try to get busy. And all of a sudden they think, well, that young man said that that the preacher showed him some verses, how he could know for sure. And you know, he had to be saved. He said, talked about born again. And you know what? You don't know what God's going to use. They may not get saved that day. You may be another person that is brought into their life that is in the process of getting them ready and prepared to one day be saved. But let me just say this. Let's go out and do our due diligence to either plant, water, or sometimes get to see the increase in this matter of soul winning. Now, watch this. We're going to wrap it up here. Watch this. I just kind of illustrated this for you. I want you this week, in preparation of learning how to be a soul winner, I want you to take some time to either write out your testimony, and I think it's good to write it out, and then trim it down so that you can present it in about 2 to 4 minutes. What you just heard me say, if I didn't stop and talk, I can tell them in about 2.5-3 minutes. Now, have I gone through detail every verse? No. But I let them know, hey, I was lost. The Bible talks about sin, hell, heaven, Jesus. For God so loved the world, God convicted me. I went forward. Now I know for sure I'm going to heaven. I mean, if I get those basic points across, that helps them. And so I want you to prepare your testimony. If somebody were to say, hey, stand up and tell me in about 4 minutes. Now watch this, folks. If you say, I want to tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and you start rambling on, okay, I was born back in 1961. I weighed 10 pounds, 10 ounces. Oh, my goodness sakes, my mom still hasn't forgiven me for that. And by the way, I went to Bee Ridge Elementary School. And then, I mean, they're already looking for a way to get rid of you, okay? And so you can't go through your life story. You don't want to go through, but just 2 to 4 minutes, this is who I am. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And by the way, remember what I said? As I'm talking about that, well, I'm going to tell you something right now. God's warmed my heart just now. And every time I go back and visit that place in my mind where I got saved, you know what I believe? I believe in that moment that the same God that brought me to salvation is here with me and can bring this person to salvation. And it tenderizes my heart and it puts a tear in my eye, and people look in your eyes and they want to gauge whether or not you're just going through something you had to do, because you know what? You're a teen at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and you know what? We put you on a bus with a gun and make you go out and win people to cry. And if you come across like that, you know what? You're not going to see too many people say. But if you're real with people and they see that you had to do it. So your assignment this week, if I was to ask you next Sunday night, please come next Sunday night. I promise I won't embarrass you by putting you on the spot and making you do anything. But I may ask 2 or 3 people next Sunday and say, all right, I want to listen. Who's comfortable doing this? And I think if you got to hear 2 or 3 people get up and just say, and by the way, 2 to 4 minutes, all right? You start rambling, I'm going to step in and say, go back and work on it some more, all right? 2 to 4 minutes, all right? Do it the way I'm telling you to do it. Let me tell you something. It works. And you get the gospel out. I've taken, from the time I knock on that door and handed that person that track, I've taken less than four or five minutes of their time up to that point. And you know what? I've gotten the gospel to them 2 different ways and asked them then if I could share the gospel verses with them. And you know what? From that point on, if they'll let me, at that point, if they usually say, yeah, I'd like to see those verses, I tell you this, more times than not, if they say that, they're going to get saved. I can just about guarantee you, by that point in the thing, and if they're not, then that's fine. They're not ready. They're not there. And I'm not going to sit there and try to browbeat them into anything. I'm going to the next door, because maybe behind the next door there is somebody that's ready. And so that's the process. Work on it this week, just preparing your testimony. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of instruction. We do ask, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, there's just something about Christians talking about the day they got saved. Something about people that are saved just standing up The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I think it just shocks the world. I think the world don't know what to do with a bold Christian. I think it makes an indelible impression on people when they see another human being stand up and verbalize their faith in Christ and share their testimony and talk about how they were lost, but then they were saved. And the peace that comes with this, being able to lay their head on their pillow at night, know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. There's something very compelling about that, powerful about that. And Lord, I believe it's something that the Holy Spirit uses then in the hearts of people. So as we begin, Lord, to develop our soul winning, Lord, and grow into soul winners, may we start, Lord, by going back and revisiting our salvation.